The whole painted decoration that you can see in the church was executed according to the traditional technique of the fresco, a term originating from the Italian affresco, meaning in fresco. Paint is applied on a fresh coating of plaster or lime. While drying, the plaster or lime absorbs the pigments of color that will last unchanged for years. However, very few artists use this technique because it entails many obstacles that can only be overcome by quick execution, expertise, and precision, as the talented Guido Nincheri could. As the coating absorbs the pigments and is in contact with the air, a fine layer is formed on the surface. The artist must work quickly because it will not be possible to modify the work of art after crystallization and the coating has dried. Time is of the essence. There is no room for error or long coffee breaks. The artist must also take into consideration that the color will be different once the coating is dry and adjust the quantity of pigment accordingly. To help with this monumental task, Nincheri prepared scale drawings on large pieces of cardboard that he installed on the wall before the final application of coating. Small holes were pierced on the main lines and the drawing was taped on gently with a small bag of coal. When the cardboard were removed, all that remained on the wall to guide the artist was a stippled drawing visible through the fresh coating. It is possible to see what corresponds to a day's work, a giornata, in observing the marks resulting from the juxtaposition of the coatings from one day to the next. Please note that Nincheri, a skilled fresco painter, was able to greatly reduce the visibility of these inevitable delimitations. As an example, in the fresco above you, the angels are separated by stylized beams of light. It is probably a strategy to soften the marks left by work day after day more easily visible on a solid background. Now, observe St. Leo's fresco in the apse of the chancel. Note the clearer vertical lines above the individuals at the bottom of the fresco. The space between these lines corresponds to work done in one day. Despite the constraints, note the precision of the faces, the richness of the colors in the draping, and the complexity of the decorative elements. Today, Nincheri is recognized as one of the great masters of the art of the fresco, irrespective of the era. The themes depicted in the frescoes of Saint-Léon Church are not very common in Quebec religious art. We have already presented the fresco of the apse, representing the glorification of Saint-Léo and the affirmation of the authority of the Pope of Rome. Above you, similar to a dome opening onto the sky, is the vision of celestial Jerusalem as described by Apostle St. John in the Book of the Apocalypse. The center illustrates God holding the book with seven seals, the Lamb, symbol of Christ sacrificed and risen, and the 24 ancients, counselors of the throne. The groups of ancients are surmounted by the evangelists represented by their attributes, the four living creatures, a lion for Mark, an eagle for John, a man for Matthew, and a steer for Luke. There are two groups of angels on the walls of the transept above the stained glass windows. On the left side of the chancel, the angels are pouring cups of divine wrath onto earth. On the right side, seven angels with trumpets are launching different cataclysms and curses. Finally, in the vaults of the transepts, note the four riders of the Apocalypse, accompanied by inscriptions and medallions symbolically supporting the function of each. They are also recognizable by the color of their hair. White is associated with victory and the divine, red with war, black with plague and famine, and a light brown horse with death. Guido Nincheri remained faithful to the text, yet added a few personal interpretations. Note the face of the black rider in the vault of the right transept. It is a self-portrait of the artist, and it is not the only place where Nincheri portrayed himself. In the fresco of the apse, in the first group of individuals at the bottom and to the right of the composition, is Nincheri's profile behind a woman and a child. It is his wife Julia and one of his sons, Jacques, deceased at the age of 5. It is possible that Ninkeri was making a veiled reference to his artistic heritage, whereby Renaissance artists may take advantage of a work, including several individuals, to insert a self-portrait, like Botticelli in The Adoration of the Magi, painted in 1475. Father Gautier mentioned in his writings that the artist was experiencing difficulties finding good models for the Saint Leon of Westmount Church. He relates that one day Ninkeri saw a man on the street with a very nice beard, a perfect model to represent God. He made an appointment with the man for 2 days later. The man was living in an old person's home, a shelter for destitute persons. On the given day, Ninkeri went to the shelter and was greeted by a well-dressed man, hair-combed and clean-shaven. The man was all spruced up and had cut the beard that Ninkeri had noticed. According to the story told by Ninkeri's grandson, despite the fact that the artist was frustrated and had called him a poor soul, the man nevertheless served as a model. From memory, Ninkeri had to add a beard to his preliminary drawings. We invite you to observe the frescoes that decorate the vault of the nave. Represented in almond-shaped medallions, also referred to as mandorla, are individuals chosen among the patriarchs, prophets, martyrs, and male and female founders of religious communities. Here, it is likely that Ninkeri drew his inspiration not from live models, but from small, holy, or devout pictures widely distributed by the religious authorities to kindle the devotion of the faithful. The images, with their standardized, controlled illustrations, enabled the faithful to quickly identify the subjects. Finally, note Ninkeri's meticulous work on the decorative designs that fill the spaces between the medallions. This is how the iconographic program of Saint Leon Church frescoes is displayed. The faithful who enter the church recognize in the vault of the nave men and women whose devotion and spirituality enabled them to achieve sainthood. They are models to be imitated. At the center, the invisible church dominates, as revealed by the Apocalypse. Finally, a return towards mankind takes place in the chancel through St. Peter and St. Leo the Great, asserting the authority and legitimacy of the Catholic Church on earth. To continue the visit with the presentation of the stained glass windows, please select track 14.